I believe that belief is the most important ingredient in our success. When we see it clearly and believe it dearly, we declare a defining moment, an epiphany, if you will. We declare, I can do this. I am doing this. Detailed success stories I know are the best way to build this belief. So I'm on a mission to interview every diamond and above in Young Living worldwide. I'm learning from them the granular details of what they thought then and what they think now. I gathered all their vital statistics on how many people they enrolled year one to the ER rate. Let's dive in and listen.
Hey everybody, Richard Blissbrook here with yet another Road to Diamond interview. Today from Pennsylvania, we have Melissa Stoltzfus. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
And she's got an incredible story, raising five young children, homeschooling them, and wait till you hear what she used to do for a living as a kid. You probably haven't heard one of these stories before. Melissa, welcome to the Road to Diamond interview.
Thanks, Richard. I'm so honored to be here. I've listened to your calls for a long time, and to actually be here doing an interview with you is a little surreal.
Well, they're going to be really valuable. I think what Melissa's referring to is I've been interviewing people for years called the Network Marketing Hero Calls. And the purpose of these interviews is to give people a roadmap of not only belief, but the statistics of what it takes to actually build a really successful business in network marketing. And the Road to Diamond series is all about interviewing every diamond and above in Young Living. And that'll take me the rest of my life because they're going to keep advancing faster than I can interview them, which will be awesome because we'll have hundreds and hundreds of interviews to study and stats and stories. And wait till you hear Melissa's story. So let's get into it, Melissa. I got to ask you the same question I start off asking everyone else. Who were you? Where were you? And what were you doing? And I want you to bring all that childhood stuff into this answer before you ever heard of Young Living.
Well, my husband and I are currently living in the county that we were both born in. I've never lived outside of Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, excepting for a couple of months in service projects. And I was born into a farming family, a dairy farming family. I didn't tell you this part, Richard, but I'm actually the oldest of 14 children.
Oh my God.
My mom was pregnant at my wedding with my youngest brother. So that's a fun, interesting fact about me. I was born into a Mennonite family. My husband was born into an Amish family, and his parents left the Amish church when he was nine. They were excommunicated.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I don't even know what that means, but it sounds traumatic.
Well, they lived through it. We both milked cows for quite a few years of our lives. I milked cows from the time I remember standing on a bucket to be able to reach the pipeline. So I think it was like 8 or 9 at the time until I was about 19 or 20. I probably milked cows, maybe not every day, but multiple times a week.
Right. And that's even in the winter.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I know a little something about dairies in the winter, so I can relate. Wow. So you're one of 14. That's a whole story in itself. And so where were you and what were you doing and all of that before you heard of Young Living? Like, how did you hear about it?
Oh, right. So, I had always been entrepreneurial, and my dad being a farmer, I got to work in his office. So I started a couple of small businesses with him and did his books for him. When I was about 20, I started in direct sales with another company, And
what company was that?
That was Mary Kay initially.
Okay. Good.
So I did all the things, you know, I went to events, I learned the skills of inviting, follow-up, hostess coaching, and I did that for a while. I didn't think I would ever leave it because I loved the company. And then I started a second company, started with Uppercase Living, which was a very small direct sales company. This was about probably 8 years later. So, I was still doing Mary Kay, but I loved Uppercase Living too. And I thought, well, I can do them both. I still had a kind of a retail mindset,
right,
not realizing that's what it was at the time.
Yep.
Cause I don't really suggest that people who want to get to, who have goals for higher ranks do two companies at a time. So I'm just saying that, but this is part of my story and I learned how to do it, how to not do it first. Right.
Right.
So when Young Living came along, I had just given birth to my fifth child. I had five kids in 8 years. My fifth pregnancy was really complicated to the point of giving myself insulin shots twice a day because of gestational diabetes. And my daughter was born 2 weeks early, weighing 11 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a really difficult year. And she was born in October. 2 months later, I was invited to my first oils class. And I went thinking oils were something you put in potpourri to make the house smell good, but thinking there's got to be a little something more to it than this. And so, this was about a week before Christmas. So I always tell my people, don't tell me you can't have classes the week before Christmas because you might miss out. Who might you might miss out helping?
You.
And enrolling. Yeah, someone like me. And I went home and thought about it for about 2 weeks, got my kit. Middle of the winter, January, here I am with five kids under eight. And moms of small kids know that when one child gets sick, you block out your schedule for the next week because you know it's going to roll through the whole family. And so I was using oils like a crazy woman and, of course, peace and calming and stress away. And I really wished that I would have had oils when my oldest was a baby because he was my most difficult baby. And so when I started sharing Young Living, which was pretty much right away, I actually had my first class in January. I called up the lady who helped me learn about oils. And I said, is there any way you'd come teach a class to my friends? Because I feel like a bad friend if I don't tell them about these oils. I told her several times I don't want to do the business, but I love the product so much, and I want my family and friends to know about it.
Okay, so let's go back and isolate her because she's really important. Who was she to you? You can tell us her name if you want, but how did you know her, and what did she say to you that compelled you to go to a class?
That's a lot of questions. I'll see if I can remember them all. So the lady that invited me to the class had been my doula for my fourth child. I don't remember what she said to me. I was just at a point of so much personal pain that I was searching for solutions between my own health and the health of my children, you know? Mm-hmm. So she invited me to her class, but she was just starting herself. So at the class, she didn't teach it, but the lady that helped her get started taught it. And she was a nurse, a retired nurse. And so Bev, Marianne invited me. Bev was the one that I was calling to come teach the class for me.
Got it.
Because she had been in it a couple more years, and she's the one that really kind of coached me through that beginning stage. Although, you know, Marianne is a friend, and she was helping, but she was learning at the same time I was. So
I got it.
Talk more to Bev.
All right. So you started off just wanting to share the products with your friends out of an obligation, which is pretty common. And you said you told her several times you didn't want anything to do with the business. What happened and when did it happen that the lights came on that this was an income opportunity that required team building?
Well, I knew from the beginning that it was an income opportunity because I'd already been in several of them.
Yep.
And even though I denied wanting to do the business, I really knew how to do business. And so I used what I had built, you know, everything I knew up until that point when I was inviting people to a class. And even though I said I didn't want to do the business, our family was growing faster than our income was at that point in our lives. And my husband was working a blue collar job. And so I felt like I didn't have all of the money that I would like to afford the healthy things for our family. And so I love the fact that I could get a little check from sharing, even though I wasn't doing the business.
Right.
So the second part of your question was what struck me. When did I realize it was an income opportunity that required team building? One of the things that I loved right away about Young Living is that there was no inventory required, no delivery required. It didn't require me to run around town. I could really focus on educating and teaching, which I loved. And I didn't understand the comp plan when I got started, but within 2 or 3 months, I kind of listened to, you know, people sharing it several times, and I got my head wrapped around that.
Let me ask it in a different way. When did you decide to go to Diamond? When did you decide I'm going to move through these ranks, even if it was gold, platinum? When did you decide that? And what happened, if anything, that you decided it?
Well, it was a process. And I can tell you when I decided to go to silver, because I would call Bev up on the phone and ask her some questions from time to time. And she kept saying, I should really go to convention. And so I got my kit in January, and it was in about May that I remember sitting at my kitchen table. It was our 10th anniversary that year, and my husband had been saving money to go. We love to travel because we haven't traveled much. And I mean, up until that point with Young Living, we have more now, but we were saving money to go to Hawaii for our 10th anniversary trip. Okay. And I remember sitting at the kitchen table and calling him and saying, is there any chance that you would take the money we've been saving for our 10th anniversary trip, and instead of doing that, our anniversary was in October, go with me to convention in June?
Wow.
I really want to go, and it sounds so cool. Now, up until
That's
this point,
bold.
Up until this point in my direct sales and network marketing career, I had never been to a convention. Mm-hmm. So to my shock, he said yes. And we quickly found childcare, brought the nursing baby with us. And when we got to convention, I learned that I had just hit executive. And at that time in the company, they had the program, Silver and Six, where if you moved from, you know, executive to silver in a certain period of time, you got $2,000 worth of free oils.
Right.
And so I left convention having my mind so greatly expanded on what Young Living was and getting to see the farms and everything. And I thought, well, I'm still not sure I want to do this as a business, but I really want those $2,000 worth of free oils. So I'm going to go home and do everything that I know how to do to see if that can happen. And I was able to get the $2,000 worth of free oils and my first silver check. And then it was kind of like, all right, now what? And I realized at that point, I didn't want to stop. And I saw growth happening, you know, around me, and people still excited and asking questions about oils. And I was still loving them as much as I did on day one. And so I just decided I'm not going to stop. I'm going to give it all I have and see where this thing can take me.
Yep. So it sounds like it was a combination between the convention and the incentive for Silver and Six, because once you got to Silver, you had enough going on that you have people under you that are saying, hey, we want to do this too. That just leads to you then deciding, okay, I got to take this further. So, really important what was said to you to inspire you to go to convention? Because if you think about it, you could contemplate, where would my business be if I never went to that first convention? Mm-hmm. Right? You might still be an executive. Mm-hmm. Very possible. So the initiative, the vision casting, the powerful request, the whatever it took to get you to convention could have been the most important thing your upline ever did for you and for themselves, because they just added like $600,000 a month volume to their OGV, right? Just mm-hmm. from that move. So once you decided to go, let's reflect a little bit on your stats, because one of the things that I learned from the Network Marketing Hero calls, so far I think I've interviewed 109, about 102 out of the 109 people that built, these are businesses that are, you know, 25,000 a month to 400,000 a month in 5, 6, 7 years, they all, 102 out of 109, personally enrolled 40 to 50 people in their first year, each year for 2 years. So sometimes that was 35 and sometimes it was 70, but the sweet spot was 30 to 40 to 50 people a year in the first 2 years. Do you remember how many people you personally enrolled in your first year? I think you ran the stat, but that only accounted for people that are still active. So I want to include everybody. You remember how many you personally enrolled, roughly?
Well, I remember at one point, because I told you I listened to your calls, and I did. And I remember at one point thinking, I wonder how many people I enrolled in my first 2 years. And I went and looked at that point. I don't remember when it was, and it was about 80 people. And like you said, I have not completely tracked some of the ones that went inactive.
Right.
But yeah, it was close to 80 people in the first 2 years.
Yeah. So you're right there in that sweet spot. And so now tell us, what did that grow into and how long did it take? So in the first 2 years, let's just say it was 40 a year to keep it simple. How long did it take you to get to platinum and then diamond?
Well, I'm looking at my notes. I hope that's okay.
That's fine.
silver was about a year after I first enrolled. Gold was a year later. Platinum was a year later. And then diamond, I think, was of a year and a half after that.
That's beautiful. So you rank advanced silver in a year, gold in 2 years, platinum in 3 years, and diamond in 4.5 years.
Yes, I believe so. And I'm still diamond now. I feel like I'm just getting started, and I'm happy to share my story because I want to inspire other people that are just getting started. But I feel like I still have such a long way to go yet, too.
Well, yes, we all do. And in the scope of things, though, the hardest thing to do in the world in terms of motivation, it's not hard in terms of actually doing the work. Once you and I are motivated, we just do the work. The hardest thing in the world in network marketing is getting motivated, like getting that mental and emotional energy and direction and focus. Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Here's why I'm going to do it. Now I'm doing it. That's the hardest thing in the world. And in terms of the business model, the most challenging thing that separates the winners from the strugglers is that first 2 years. So you got that done. And now it's just fanning the flames. Like, how many, those first 80 people, how many people do you have total on your team now?
Now?
Yeah.
Oh, over 6,000.
Right. So, yeah. You know, folks, just pay attention to that. How you get 6,000 people on your team is you personally enroll 80. And of course, there's some things we'll talk about that you do in personally enrolling those 80. But then you basically fan the flames, right? Blow on it, nurture it, give it time to grow exponentially. 6,000 people, $600,000 a month in sales. And you've got some great stats, Melissa. What percentage of those people are on ER?
I have to look here at my notes.
I think it's 42.
Yeah, 42%.
So yeah. Tell us secret sauce. What do you think you've done in enrolling people that has led to such a, it's actually average in Young Living. The average is 40. So you're a little over average, but still you're not under. What do you think you've done to nail that average of 42% of the people you've enrolled are on ER? What do you do in the beginning that makes ER that important to them?
Well, I can tell you what made ER important to me.
Good.
And the fact that I talked about it. And that was, I was getting needed every bit of mileage I could get out of my dollar because I had five small children. And so I wanted, Young Living has such a vast array of products, so easy to fall in love with so many products, and I wanted them, and we use them every day in a large way. And so I wanted the biggest bang for my buck that I could get. And it was important to me. And I thought, if it's important to me to get the best bang for my buck, why would it not be important to other people? And so as part of telling people about Young Living, because believe it or not, I have enrolled somebody who was going to a store and paying full retail price for all the products. And she did not know there was a wholesale option. And she did not know there was essential rewards. And she did not know there was monthly promos. And so I tell my people now, I say, just because somebody says that they've heard of Young Living or they've used an oil, don't assume that, you know, they may have been gifted that oil from somebody, right, or they may have found it at Goodwill, which I have heard happening. And so don't assume that they know all the things that you know, and they don't know unless you ask questions and share about what the opportunities are. So when I tell people about how to buy Young Living, I say there's two options, a retail and a wholesale. And if you choose the wholesale options, then there's three other ways that you can save money with Young Living beyond that wholesale option. So you decide first whether you want to buy retail or wholesale, and then I'll tell you if you choose wholesale, how to save money beyond that.
And what do you say those three ways are?
Well, the first is essential rewards, and I won't go into all the details of that, but that's the first way. The second way is the monthly promos, because you get free product. And the third way is getting a check if you choose to share. If you choose to help somebody get a kit, you can get a check that covers that 50 PV order that is required to be on Essential Rewards.
Right. So if you just enrolled, if you just shared with one person a month and you're on the minimum ER, $50, then you're break even and you got $50 worth of product for free. Mm-hmm. But your people are not on the minimum. Your people average $133 a month. What do you think has led to that? Which is not, it's like a little over average, but it's not. I've interviewed a lot of people that are down around 60 and some that are a little higher than 133. 133 is fantastic. You think you've done anything special to create an average PV of 133 per active person?
Well, I feel like I got to say thanks to Young Living. The way they put their promos that people can get a free oil at 100 PV and then other free oils at 190 and 250 and 300.
Yep.
You know, we teach lifestyle and ditching and switching. We teach on products and how to use them and why to use them, why you want to use them. And I think it's all a combination of all of that.
What do you think of a family of four or five, how much Young Living products would they legitimately consume every month if they went through their entire home and replaced every toxic and every unhealthy product in their home with a Young Living legitimate alternative. What do you think they would spend a month? Which means they would just be trading dollars, right? Instead of spending it over there, we're going to spend it here. What do you think they would spend a month? You have a family of seven. What do you spend?
That's an excellent question that I've never really sat down and written out. When I started doing the math myself, I was like, well, 50, even 100 PV is very easy to do.
Right.
And that was before we were even really using all of the, you know, I don't know if in your numbers, if you would include supplements or if you would just be figuring out replacing toxic products.
Everything in your home that you're already buying. So here's, here's the opportunity for justifying that somebody spend $133 a month with Young Living is not, you don't want people to think, well, okay, if I get involved in Young Living, I got to spend an extra $133 to be an active member, because who has an extra $133? Not very many people. So what we want to do is go through the house and look, what are you spending already every month, and figure it out. And just actually look at everything in your pantry, everything under the sink, everything in the bathroom. If you're buying supplements now, how often do you buy them? What are you paying for them? And if you replaced everything legitimately, I don't mean like amplified to justify Young Living, but if you replaced everything in your home that's either toxic or nutritional or personal care or makeup or skincare, right? What would you spend on Young Living? We've done that exercise lots of times. It's $500, $600, $700 every month.
People.
No, family of four or five or six and a couple of pets, right? So if you do that exercise with people and then you show them, hey, how about just 100? Now 100 seems like makes a lot of sense, right? So my suspicion, Melissa, is you said earlier you love education. What do you? My suspicion is you've got 133 from education. What do you do that you're really good at, that you're passionate around, that expresses you educating people about Young Living? The products. Like, what do you do in your classes, or what do you do online, or what do you do in social media? How have you educated your team about how extraordinary these products are?
Just talk about them. I mean, time is, you know, our greatest commodity. And as a mother of five, there's not a whole lot of time sometimes. But I have not built only on social media. However, that has been a big part of it. You know, within Facebook groups, have 5 minutes, go live, talk about what I'm using and why I love it. And then lots of in-person things too. One-on-one classes, and products are just amazing. I feel like they sell themselves.
Yeah, well, they do, but like you said, we do have to talk about them, which my guess is that's just pretty natural for you to be a promoter and an educator. So it doesn't sound exceptional, but even the idea of going live in a Facebook group and telling people this is what I use and why I use it, that's a pretty extraordinary habit that can lead to $133 average PV of people on your team and 42% ER. Let's talk about team building. So you're in year seven, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people have you found yourself personally enrolling, like in year 3, 4, 5, 6, 7? Like, what's your pace of play currently and in the last few years on enrolling?
Well, I'll be honest, it's not as high as I would like it to be. Since we started homeschooling, I feel like that's taken a huge shift of energy. But at the same time, it's not that I've stopped altogether. So I think here, I'm having a hard time even reading my notes. You know, 5, 6, 10 people since a year, maybe since the first 2 years. That's not counting the ones that went inactive. Those, that would be the ones that are still active.
Right. So it sounds like you're personally enrolling one or two a month still. Where do you tend to find people to enroll? Like, how are you out there networking, either with people you already know or people you don't know? Where are you finding those connections and how are you nurturing them?
Well, I nurture them by being a good friend and asking questions and listening for needs. I find them in meeting new people, in that the benefit of five kids is that there's a lot going on. Kids are in things, sports, activities, music lessons. And so that's one place and one way that you meet new people. But it's not only that, it's social media, being in similar interest groups. You know, since we started homeschooling, then, you know, there's a homeschool group for Lancaster County. And I don't go stalking people there, but if you're asking questions and adding value within those groups, you become friends. And then if you see somebody at an event, it's like, oh, you're the person I was talking to. And before you know it, you're Facebook friends. And one thing leads to another. And
Tell us a story. Tell us a story about the last person that you're really excited about. The last person you personally enrolled, and how you knew them, and how you introduced them to Young Living. Just pick somebody in the last year that you're excited about.
Okay. The person that I'm thinking of actually reached out to me. I got to know her because of an interest that I had. And so I signed up to take a course online, got added to a Facebook group for the course, and never made it to any of the meetups. But somewhere along the way, of course, like I said, I was in the group and I was chatting about some things. She friend requested me. And then one time I posted about Young Living and she commented, "I didn't know you do Young Living." And I was like, well, do you want to hear more about the product? Because to me, somebody commenting is a lead. Don't stomp on your sprouts is what I say. It was a sprout. So I reached out to her and she was like, yeah, sure. So she came over to my house and we chatted Young Living and she got a kit.
And how did she know about Young Living? Like she said, I didn't know you did Young Living. So she must have had some context of experience. Does she know people that do Young Living? Did she ever do it before? Did she ever do network marketing before?
Well, I will say this. She's not a business builder yet.
Right.
I'm, you know, this is in the last couple months that she's gotten a kit. So I am continuing to nurture the relationship and we'll see what happens. But she's very entrepreneurial minded, which I look for in people. And I asked her how she knew or if she'd ever used oils and what she knew. And she said her sister used some oils. And so that was how she had heard of them.
What? Awesome. Well, so the lesson there is you were expanding your comfort zone. You were putting out your feelers by joining a group, taking a class. That increases your network, right? All of a sudden you're connected to new people, and you were actually active in that group, chatting it up. Somebody befriended you. You were paying attention. You posted about Young Living. You were paying attention to the comments. I post stuff all the time. I don't pay any attention to the comments. You got to pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. So that leads to somebody joining your business. And what I suspect, Melissa, in listening to you, is you have the right attitude about her. Because just because she's not doing the business now, just because she maybe says she's not interested, you're smart enough to know, well, you said the same thing. And actually, I'm not interested in the business is the mantra of about 95% of the people that are just about to start building the business. Mm-hmm. Right? So we don't want to pay attention to what they say. just want to keep nurturing the relationship and asking them questions. Right. So what's next for you, Melissa? What's your vision? You say you're just getting started. Where are you going with this? And do you have any particular strategies you're willing to share that might support people that want to go in the same direction?
Well, what gets me out of bed in the morning now is all of the women on and men on my team who have visions like I had to be able to get to that point where they could buy the healthy things they wanted for their family and it wasn't a problem. And the people that are looking for financial freedom. So my vision is really to help as many people as possible, my team, but beyond that too. And my strategy for getting there, simple, do the daily work, show up on a regular basis and think long term. I don't think it's anything new or rocket science, but that my experience has been over the long term that when you show up to do the work on a daily basis, you're going to see results and you're going to grow in the direction that you're moving.
Beautiful. That's deep truth right there. Hey, sometimes, Melissa, without any notice, I turn the tables on people I'm interviewing. You may have heard me do that if you've listened to a lot of Hero Calls. And so you have to go from like immediate intuition on this because you don't get any prep. You got a question for me as we end this interview?
Sure.
Oh, this
is wonderful.
She's spontaneous. Let's see. Let's see. What is it?
Well, I mean, and this comes from a place of really where I'm at, because in the beginning, the motivation was stronger, maybe because it was personal. But at this point, I feel like I am making more money than I ever dreamt I would make. And so money's not, you know, living day to day is not a challenge anymore. And like I told you, I'm motivated by the people who on my team who want to go and grow. But I feel like that motivation isn't as strong as it was back when it was more personal. And so I guess my question is, how do I take that motivation and make it stronger and make it more personal?
Great question. Everything for me rises and falls on motivation. Almost everybody's always trying to figure out how. And if you focus on motivation, the how takes care of itself. So great question. So here's a couple of angles to take a look at it. So you said something really important. You said you're making more money than you really need, more money than you ever anticipated. Your family's not outgrowing your income anymore. Your income's outgrowing your family. And so that naturally takes the edge off the motivation that got you there. So here's a strategy you can develop that will solve that problem forever. If the problem you want to keep in place is, I don't have enough money. Right? Because the problem you have now is, well, I have enough money. So what's going to be the motivation to build this? Well, okay, well, here's a simple fix for that. Set your life up so you don't have enough money. Now you might say, oh, wait a minute, I don't want to be broke again. I'm not talking about being broke again. I'm talking about find a cause, find a contribution, find a service, find a crowd of less fortunate people. So that could be, you know, villages in developing countries. It could be trafficking of women. It could be, foster children. It could be anything. It doesn't matter what it is. What matters is it's personal to you. You're passionate about it. Because when you take on a cause in your life, you can't ever make enough money. So you want to put a dent in the trafficking problem for women in this world? you want to put a dent in it, $1 billion wouldn't even be a blip on the radar. It would be nothing. So your $10,000 a month that you might donate, it's not enough. You're never going to be in a place if you're taking on a cause where you feel like, oh, I have too much money. You're always going to be able to tap into the ambition of, okay, let me take on another village. Let me take on another foster kid. Let me take on, you know, another place where I can contribute. That's the first place I lead people who are feeling like I have too much money. Okay, well, go take on something where you'll never have enough money. That's one. Number two way, this is so typical of network marketers, and yet it never ever happens in any other profession or business where you're self-employed. So a network marketer will make $25,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a month, and they have the attitude that it's all theirs, like that's net income, like it's a salary. And what I encourage people to do is when you start earning more money than you actually need to take care of your family. So let's say you're making 20 grand a month, but you only really need 10. So what are you doing with the other 10? Well, most people are saving it, which is like a really bizarre strategy, because what that basically means is that they're getting a 1% return on their money, or a 2% or a 3% return on their money. And then if I ask them, well, why are you saving it? They're saying, well, for a rainy day. Okay, well, I would totally support that if you built your network marketing income in some goofball startup, flim-flam MLM thing. But if you've built a diamond ship in Young Living, that's pretty bulletproof residual income. And so what do you need savings for? You don't really need savings as a strategy. What you need, perhaps, is more income from Young Living. So how about take some of that extra income? So let's just say, Melissa, you have 10 grand a month in money you're not having to spend. I would coach you to find a home for $2,000 or $3,000 a month of that, where you're deploying that asset in building your Young Living business. Because what people rely on in building a network marketing business is horsepower, human power. So our mouth, our mind, our body, I'm doing all the work. Maybe I have a comp plan, and I have, of course, Young Living that's helping me. Think about how much capital Young Living deploys every year to help us build our business. Hundreds of millions of dollars. And yet we as distributors, we don't ever think about investing $2,000 or $3,000. So I would encourage you, get creative. Think about where could you invest some of your income to fuel growth? Because here's a reality in 2019. This is a reality in Young Living and any essential oil network marketing company. The era, at least in North America, where all you have to do is say, I have essential oils and everybody comes to your class, that era has come to an end. We're in a new era now where it's going to take new ideas and new strategy to build growth. It's not going to be as easy as telling your friends, hey, come over to a class, and 8 of them show up and 6 of them sign up with a PSK. That might be happening in niches, but it's not happening in mass anymore. So we need new strategies. So what I would encourage you to do is, if you have extra money, look for a place to invest it to grow your business. Incentives, training, automation, anything where you're getting a bang for your buck, right? Because if you just save your cash, you're not deploying that cash in an intelligent manner. The best investment on the planet is you and I. So one place you could invest the money, Melissa, is in you. So who could you be? What could your skill set be that you could grow a Royal Crown Diamond business? What's missing in your mental viewpoint, in your perspective, in your attitude, in your emotional IQ? So you could invest that money in you, or you could invest that money in your team, and that's a 10 times better investment than putting it in the bank. And the last thing I would tell you about motivation, you've already talked about as something you're doing, and I would just encourage you to do it tenfold, is take on the dreams and aspirations of people on your team as though they were your own. The way you get to Royal Crown Diamond is not pursuing Royal Crown Diamond for yourself. There's not enough horsepower, if you will, in the human spirit to do that for ourselves. The way you access all of your spirit, all of your motivation, is to do it for other people. So the best strategy for getting to Royal Crown Diamond is go find six people who want to go to Royal Crown Diamond and take on that dream. Take on that strategy. Take on that long-term plan. Dedicate yourself to that. And if you take those three strategies, Melissa, and really study the art of vision and self-motivation, I wrote a book about that.
I have it.
Having
I need
it,
to read it again.
Having it, you know, having it doesn't do much good. Then, you know, you'll resolve that problem. Something you could do, like here's a plug, something you could do to invest in your team is bring them to the United Invitational. That's our annual leadership development event. Or you could plug them in Run Through Rank, which is a program that coaches people to build teams that grow through rank. So whether it's Run Through Rank or United Invitational or a dozen other opportunities that are out there, just be asking the question, Melissa, where could I invest my money to personally develop me into a more powerful leader? And where could I invest my money to create growth in my team? And what could I take on as a cause and as other people's visions and goals that's bigger than me, so that I'm never at a loss for motive?
Awesome. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
I took notes.
Good. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tapping into another Road to Diamond. Melissa Stoltz-Fuss is got an extraordinary story. If you know anybody that grew up like she grew up, if you know anybody who's homeschooling five kids, which is a lot of other diamonds in Young Living, right? Share her story with them, because it all boils down to this, folks. It's not the how, it's the why. And if you can tap into why this would be important to you and believing that you can actually pull it off, you'll figure out the how, you'll do the work, and 4, 5, 6, 7 years from now, you'll have the kind of freedom and abundance that Melissa has. Melissa, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's beautiful. It's awesome. It's unique. And whether it's like next month or next year or 5 years from now, somebody listening to your story is going to get inspired. All the lights are going to come on, and they're going to go change their world.
Thank you for doing this, Richard.
You're welcome. Thank you all for listening. Until next time, Richard. Remember, the work is worth it.
Thanks for listening. I trust you got some golden nuggets. If you're inspired sufficiently, I invite you to join me for Run Through Rank. Run Through Rank is a coaching program designed to have you blow through your next rank with never having to worry about requalifying. We come together twice a week for an hour for 60 days. You'll end up with 16 to 20 hours of custom video content you can study forever. This could be the best investment you ever make. Check it out at runthroughrank.com. That's runthruRank.com. We'll see you there.